is from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Timothy, a young man for whom Paul had advice on living the life of faith. And here we read these words that have a little bit of athletic imagery in them. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales, but train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday again. And you know, David Wells is out of town on assignment. Derek Peters, although he did this wonderful campaign video for us, he's at DePaul University. I mean, what are we going to do? We need to figure out how do we observe this high holy day? How do we turn Super Bowl Sunday into Super Soul Sunday? But just what is a Super Soul and how do I become one? What on earth does football have to teach me about that?
Well,
enough.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of sick of this Super Bowl stuff. Every year we talk about football, football, football. Why is it always football that has to serve as a metaphor for faith? I mean, if you're going to use a sport to serve as a metaphor for faith, it should be tennis. Susan knew that was coming. That's right, tennis. I mean, when you think about it, tennis is really God's game, right? You can play it on grass, you can play it on clay, you can play it on that human-made stuff called concrete. You can play tennis anywhere on God's green earth and beyond. The Psalms, after all, say that we should serve the Lord with gladness and come into his courts with praise. It's all about love, isn't it, tennis? Love 15, love 30, love 40. The word love is spoken at a tennis match more times than you'll find it in the Bible. So I think the Kathy Bostrom translation of 1 Corinthians 13 reads like this. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is tennis. On a more serious note, at most there are two players on a tennis team, whether you're playing singles or doubles, there's nowhere to hide. You can't get away with a missed block or a poor tackle like you can in football. If you charge the net too soon, everybody knows it. If you hit a backhand into the crowd, everyone sees. You have this one match, and you are responsible for how you play. So God has given us this one life, and we are each responsible to God for how we live it. The ball is in our court. How's that for a metaphor for faith? Talking baseball, American pie. Jesus, now that's a metaphor for faith, right? And even the baseball movies, they inspire the soul to become a better Christian, like Field of Dreams. You don't see no AstroTurf of Dreams movie, do you? No way. And I tell you something else, you watch that game today, you just watch it. And all those guys on the field, they run this way and that way and this way. It's like they don't know which hardball brother they're running for, you know? They start here and then the next half
pitching one that way and that way. No, no, no. In baseball, we all go one direction. And that direction all leads toward home. Home, now how's that for a metaphor for heaven, huh? And speaking of that, it only takes one baseball game, just one baseball game, and it can last an eternity. Yeah, I knew you'd like that. Baseball.
It's Super Bowl Sunday, and the whole society hits the pause button to watch a football game, or at least to watch the commercials. It's football that matters to most Americans. And so, my fellow preachers, my less enlightened colleagues in the pulpit, if we want to connect with people, we better talk about football. Otherwise, they're going to tune out, just like they tuned out the Cubs when they lost their... when they lost 90-12th game last year. Football has this exquisite balance of team play, of individual expertise, of planning and chaos, of quiet time in the huddle, and explosive action. Football is like life. Life requires individual skill and teamwork. Life asks us to plan, yet also to improvise. Life is often an uneventful, yet punctuated by frenzy and chaos. This is the life that God has given to us, and we meet life head on like a football team. A team with a coach who guides us, encourages us, exhorts us, forgives us, and loves us into making the most of life that we have been given. That coach is not George Hollis or Lovie Smith or even Vince Lombardi. I think you know who I'm talking about. Greg Dana, why, you're a pastoral counselor. You're a therapist. What do you think we should do with this mess?
Well, Carrie, I'm glad you asked. I've actually been thinking about something entirely different. I've been thinking about chess. Get out my chessboard, Greg. Why should Super Bowl Sunday be reserved for things which are merely physically challenging? Why not a sport that requires mental agility and intellectual acuity? Why not think with me about the sport of chess and the life of faith? Rick, how about a little chess music? Perfect. Chess really is a fairly complicated game. You have to be fairly smart to remember how the knight moves and how the bishop goes, how to castle your rook and your king, how to avoid that simple trick your opponent can use to checkmate you in just 3 moves. And that's just the beginning. It takes a surprising amount of physical endurance to be a chess champion, but you win the game of chess with your mind. In chess, we need to know everything about complicated openings and tricky defenses. And we Presbyterians, we are known for taking Jesus seriously when he said we should love God with our minds. We read the Bible studiously. We think about God deliberately and carefully. We take on the problem of evil, why bad things happen if God is a loving God. We think carefully about how Jesus is both a window to God and a mirror to our own humanity. We refuse to believe just because someone told us to. So when we doubt, when we question, when we debate, when we talk theology, we Presbyterians believe that we are loving God with our minds. And that's exactly right. But playing the game of chess teaches us even more. Chess teaches us the importance of vision. When you play chess, you need to have a vision of what you're planning to do, what moves you're going to make. And you also need to develop an understanding, a vision of what your opponent is doing. Chess teaches you to pay attention to everything that's happening on the board. And you learn to think 10 moves ahead or 20 or 30 if you're really good. And so in the life of faith, we need a vision of what we are trying to do with our lives day by day. As in chess, we do make our own plans and our choices and our decisions about what we'll do. But unlike chess, it's not like we have an opponent, someone we're trying to defeat. Instead, we as people of faith develop a vision of what God is doing in the chessboard of our world. Where is God calling us to be people of justice and compassion and kindness? What is God doing on the chessboard of our life? And where can we collaborate in making God's vision come true? So chess teaches us to really pay attention, and thus to look for God out there in the world. It's been my experience that when we look for God, we find him. Or maybe God finds us. Either way, we win. So, Greg, I'm passing the pawn back to you. If you can't pull it together at this point, it's checkmate for this sermon.
I'm clearly out of my league with you four, so I'm going to turn to the Apostle Paul again for help. He coached his young friend Timothy, you will recall, by saying, train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, training in godliness is valuable in every way, both for this world and the next. You know, we shouldn't be surprised that being a super soul takes training. Look at these athletes, whether it's Colin Kaepernick or Paul Konerko or Rafael Nadal or Viswanathan Anand, the chess champion. They didn't get where they are by accident. They devoted energy and time and passion to developing their skills and their abilities. I mean, you don't have to be a professional athlete to know that. If you run 10Ks, if you play golf, if you kick footballs, you know that it takes practice, it takes time. It takes devotion, and you know that you will get out of something what you put into it. So it's no different if you want to be a super soul, or even if you want to just be a good soul. If you want to sense the presence of God in your life, if you want a personal connection with the one who made all things, with the one who made you, then you need to train yourself in godliness, as Paul said. You need to train and build and grow your soul. That's what we're talking about when we ask each of us to reach up and reach in and reach out. All three are part of being a good soul. Reaching up in worship, remembering who we are and to whom we belong. Reaching in to grow our own spirits, to improve and enlighten and encourage ourselves in life and faith. And reaching out because we're all in a position, all of us, to make a difference in someone else's life. And that, too, is an essential part of becoming a super soul. So what sport offers you the best metaphor for the life of faith, for your faith journey? Well, it's the one you're playing, of course. The one that catches your eye, the one that captures your heart. So listen and see what it's telling you about becoming a super soul. Or at least a very good one. Thanks be to God. Amen.